This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor. Going to DevinNunesWines.com. I welcome the man himself, Devin Nunes, whose hobby, I'm instructed to say, is three bottles of wine to begin 2021. And all three have been tested by millennials of my acquaintance and declared extremely drinkable, especially the one that was understood as California, Central California. Devin always has to remind me of these things because I don't know wines. Devin, a very good evening to you. It's Christmas time. And quite aside from gift giving, your venture into wines requires some detail. These are Portuguese varietals. You've taught me all this language. I sound like I know what I'm talking about. Meaning that with your Mediterranean climate in California, and using cuttings, I'm presuming that's what they are, from the Portuguese fields, you are presenting a California version of Portugal wine. Is there a general classification for Portugal wine? Does it have things that stand apart from Spanish wine or French wine or Australian wine? Good evening to you.
Well, thanks a lot, John. It's always great. I'm glad that I'm training you on all this wine talk here. I mean, you're going to be an expert by Christmas, by the time your kids are back for Christmas time. And thank you, all of you who have joined the Founders Club. We're basically, the Founders Club is almost full. So if you go to DevinNunesWines.com and join now, I really appreciate all the people who have joined, because it makes it possible for me to expand and try to plant some more grapes. But basically, John, we have, I'm doing Portuguese blends made from Portuguese wines from that originate from Portugal. And then I also do a Bordeaux blend, which is Cabernet Sauvignon, that is also grown in Paso Robles. So there's really only one type of grape that people do not think was from, they don't know exactly where it originates, but it's called Zinfandel. That's the only grape that is kind of California only, that it clearly came from somewhere else, but for the last, I don't know, 300 years or so, Zinfandel. Outside of that, the grapes that are growing in California are all from different parts of the world: Bordeaux, Burgundy, Spain, Italy, etc.
So you're a blend of everything. There's no, on that side of the fence is France, and on this side of the fence is Spain. It doesn't work like that in wine. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, in California, they've just planted grapes from all over the world. I mean, especially from Europe. The most prominent are the Bordeaux's, which is Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot. Second probably is Burgundy, which is, people know it as Pinot Noir. And then you have little lesser varietals from Italy, Spain, and Portugal. But those are primarily most of the grapes in California. I don't even know the percentage, but they go into wine. I'm guessing that probably 75% of them or more are either originate from Bordeaux, France, or Burgundy.
And the understanding that these are grown in the Mediterranean climate in soil that's similar to Portugal or different?
Yeah, I mean, look, my thought is that the reason I make these Portuguese blends is I think they're world class, and I think the in Paso Robles area, which is close to Meyer in the San Joaquin Valley, so it's kind of the central coast of California, north of Santa Barbara, south of Monterey. I just feel like the world class wines are going to be made from these Portuguese blends, obviously, it's all what somebody likes. I mean, these are the wines that I like. I like the flavor profile. I think they're very unique, and the climate is absolutely perfect, especially for these Portuguese varietals. I mean, the other varietals do very well in Paso Robles too. It's the second most popular wine region now, next to Napa Valley, but it's a growing area, and it's going to get better.
Immigration, a story that you in California know very well. You in Florida know very well. Devin goes back and forth between Florida and California. He lives in California, but his work, Guru, CEO of Truth Social, is in Florida. And Florida and California were debating the other day in the likeness of their governors, talking about the advantages of both states. I go to California Law on Immigration because there's movement in the Congress. Your previous hat, Devin, was in the Congress. The House Republican majority are very firm that there must be a complete re-understanding of what it is to have a border, a southern border, and how Border Patrol can block or turn back people who are not documented or do not seek to be on for in some fashion into the United States with legal means. However, the U.S. Senate, because it's dominated by the Democrats, has not been interested in that legislation until now. Now, the reporting is very general, but it speaks to the fact that the Democrats in the Senate, there are Democrats in the Senate who are ready to trade money for the border security in exchange for granting money to Ukraine. Does that Ukraine funding, which Republicans in the House have been reluctant to follow through on, does that sound like a good deal to you, Devin?
Well, it's deja vu. Here we go again. The Congress trying to trade things, and there's going to be all sorts of rumors, John, back and forth. But I think we talked about this a few weeks ago. I think people are going to realize quickly here that new Speaker Johnson is going to be in the same predicament as the old Speaker McCarthy, and it's going to be tough to get any agreement with the short numbers, with a three-seat majority now after Santos was expelled, only the sixth member of Congress expelled in United States history. I think they're down to a three-seat majority. So trying to get, whatever is going to get done is going to have to ultimately be a bipartisan deal, or they're just going to be stuck with continuing resolutions. So I think what you're seeing now is people are floating concepts. But look, you've got a lot of members of the Republican Party now who are pretty much dug in on the Ukraine funding and are not interested in it in at all because of the things that I listened to your show. The people who have been on your show for the last few years during the Ukraine-Russia war, just the lack of clarity on what's going on over there is alarming. So I think that's now resonated with a lot of Republicans who are kind of like, hey, got a wide open border being invaded basically every day with, four to 8 million people who have come in, come across the border from, 100. Like, I think every single country on the planet is now represented, people who are just flowing across the border. And people have said, why would we give any more money to Ukraine when we don't even, first war in history that you don't have, like, at least, weekly casualty reports. So, John, I don't know. I think it's going to be pretty tough for them to come to any deal before Christmas. I could be wrong, but, I spent, almost 20 years there. And, there'll be a lot of talk, but there's no pressure really until January, I think, is when the CRs run out. And my guess is, as it gets closer, there might be some clarity in January, February, if there's going to be a deal. But we're a ways off right now.
I'm told that the polls are indicating that the border security right now is unpopular because there is no border security. Will that move the story, Devin? If the polls... It's an election year, and the polling has long indicated that the border must be secured, and the White House has not responded. Will they respond in an election year?
Well, the only thing that, in my experience, the only time I would ever see the leftists in California or Washington, D.C. cave or move a position was when they experienced extreme political pain. And what does that mean? Political pain meaning that really bad polling that makes it look like they could lose control of the U.S. Senate, for example, lose control of the White House. And it looks to me like that pain threshold has gotten high enough that there's enough Democrats who are saying, hey, I may not be coming back next year. I'm at least going to pretend that I want to get this border closed. Now, the devil's in the details on how you actually do that, because there's talk of money, but really it's not money that's needed for the border. It's really just change in law and get people to turn around.
and True Social. I think of it as a place to practice the First Amendment. And I don't ask you to comment on other social media platforms, but suddenly it's no longer much in the news how social media presents the news. All of a sudden it was a huge story about a year ago. We must control this. We must regulate that. We must contend with disinformation or misinformation undermining mm-hmm. democracy. Now, I'm a consumer of news. I'm not a generator of news. But you watch this carefully because it's your business. Is there a sense that all of a sudden they've stopped talking about it? It was no longer an exciting issue for the polling?
Well, I mean, I think they're, you know, with Elon Musk buying, you know, buying Twitter, you know, it kind of changed the landscape. You know, he's fighting with advertisers now because he's trying to keep his platform open.
Right.
And, you know, it's kind of like welcome to the club, Elon. I mean, if you're basically the left, if you're not willing to, with all these fake fact checkers and all these groups that are out there, that then put pressure on these brand name advertisers that make it, you know, this is, I mean, Fox News, Newsmax, they've been experiencing this for a long time. And Elon is just kind of like, hey, welcome to the club. And overall, this is a battle that's going to have to be fought. Ultimately, you know, will these big brands ever pay a price for not being willing to advertise on, you know, you name anything that's even center to center right? And it's a big problem moving forward. And I, you know, it's a strategy that, it, you know, True Social, we have to deal with. Elon Musk was in the news for suing some of the fake fact checkers recently, but you also had Rumble who joined in, and they also are suing some of these fake fact checker groups. Because the way that these brand companies do it, John, is they say, well, according to independent research fact checkers, this is why we can't have advertisements on your platform. Well, it all depends on who the fact checkers are, John. A fact checker, if you're left wing, guess what? You're not going to agree with anything that's right wing, so you're going to say it's false. So hopefully, you know, this country at some point gets back to normalcy, and big companies and their boards recognize that, hey, there's valuable people that are on Rumble or on True Social or that are watching Newsmax. You know, God forbid, let me look at what's happened to One America News. One America News has basically been kicked off of all the platforms to deliver news into people's homes. I mean, they're down to basically just having a few apps. So,
why?
You know, this is unacceptable.
Is there an explanation? That was a startup.
Yeah, well, One America News has been around for a while, and they've been booted off of all the different platforms. I don't think they're on any cable or Dish or Direct or anything anymore.
But they just
and so
present,
now
they're,
you
it
can
just
only
presents news, is my opinion.
I mean, look, and it's been deemed by the fake fact checker groups to be, right wing, and they've been booted from all the ability to get into people's homes. So, you know, and that's one of the things that we strive for every day at True Social, right? Is trying to figure out ways that we can keep the internet open so that all content creators, whether that's John Batchelor or One America News or Newsmax or Real America's Voice, I mean, all these that are out there that are not able to participate where, say, CNN is, you know, we're out there to protect those voices, to protect the right to the internet for people to deliver content. That's what we're trying to build. And we work with strong partners like Rumble, who have a cloud that doesn't cancel people, so that we don't have to use the big, giant tech companies.
Devin Nunes. DevinNunesWines.com is, and Devin says you join the club for Christmas and you get bonuses plus testing. But right now it's Christmas time, and the first three bottles worked very well. And you know, Devin, it gets tough to buy your children when they're in their 30s. You know, you can't buy them toys the way you could when they were younger. So a bottle of wine is an excellent gift. A bottle of wine and a book. There's two things, aspiration and entertainment. DevinNunesWines.com. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.